Ready to take off? Amen, y'all see? Y'all saw our presidents in the Asian countries? Amen. God is just moving upon our president. Amen. We have a godly president. I'm not saying perfect. Who is but God? That loves God and is wanting Christians to pray for him. So let's lift him up as he is on that trip and he's looking out for the Americans. So, amen. Father, we come before you. And Lord God, we lift up President Trump unto you and his wife, Lord God. First of all, we pray that you bring him closer to you, Father. Meet with him in the midnight hours. Meet with him as his daily duties, Lord God, representing the greatest country in all the world. Father, I pray protection over him, Lord. Protection over his mind, his spirit, his soul, and his body. That the blood of Jesus would cover him and his wife, Lord God, and his family. Give him wisdom and understanding, Lord God. And Father, help him to make deals that will astound America, Lord God. And give him favor with all these leaders in these countries. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, the scripture says, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, he will come in and he will heal the land. We need a healing. But God is moving because Christians are praying. Christians are praying. Amen. Let's take our Bibles. Make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we probably all can remember, and before I want to welcome all that is watching by Facebook too, you know, here to the service. We probably could all remember the day that we got saved. We gave our hearts to the Lord. Probably you remember the day. You probably remember where you were at. You probably remember these important things because that was very important, because that was the cutting place of heaven and hell for your life. The cutting place. That was the barrier that was there. And so that was very important for you because that's the day that you gave your life to the Lord. And you gave your life to him, and you said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done through my life. You were saying, Lord, you are Savior and Lord, and you are God, and not my will anymore, because I've been doing it for so long, X amount of time, whatever age we were, and we've gotten into a mess. But Father, not my will, but your will be done in my heart and in my life from this day forward. And we took on the flag of freedom as Christians. And we took upon that ourselves that we were going to tell people about the Lord. We were going to grow as much as we could in the Word of God. We were going to pray and we were going to seek his face with everything within us. Because we wanted what? The will of God to be done. We look at, you know, you ask most people, especially in America, you say, you know, what is success? You know? And we look at success by maybe looking at material blessings or material things that a person has acquired. Or we look at success as whatever type of education somebody has, how high they have gone. And that is a success in those realms of the world. But what I want to look at today is, what does God say success is in his word? What does God put as the rule of thumb as success for his children? Now, having a higher education is great. You know, God wants us to better ourselves in whatever capacity or whatever way that we can. But ultimately, what is the criteria that God uses as success for his children? As he calls us to be one thing, and that one thing is very, very important to him. The scripture says that one day he will say to us, that is, if he does, we don't know, hopefully, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of our Lord." I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. And I hope you caught what is the success bar that God has put upon the Christian's life. Look at verse 21. He was talking about the parable of the talents. The talents. One he gave five, one he gave two, and whatever else. But look at verse 21. Verse 21. I hear people still rumbling through their Bibles, so we'll just go in a second or so. Verse 21. It says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Faithfulness, as it says in the scripture, the comment part, here is that it is being rewarded. Faithfulness is what God is looking at. That's the bar that God has set for every Christian. Faithfulness. God expects us as Christians, children of the living God, as it says here, we all want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But I know this, when we meet our Lord and Savior, he will not say words that are not true. For me and for you. He will not say words that are not true or right. We know that. We all want these words to be said about us. "Thou good and faithful servant. Thou good and faithful servant." The thing that God looks at in his children is faithfulness, people. And it's an amazing thing. Faithfulness is something that everybody has the same amount of faithfulness. Everybody can choose to be faithful or not. Everybody can choose it if they want to. But God is saying the bar that he has set for his children is faithfulness unto him and faithfulness unto the things that he has called us to do. Being faithful to him. Not wavering to the left or to the right. And let me tell you, there are some things that God will speak to us to do that we may not like to do. But because he is our God, because he is our Lord and Savior, we have to be faithful to do the things that he's called us to do, no matter what. No matter what. Look at verse 23 of that same chapter, saying it again. "His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord." Sometimes we can do the same things over and over again, and we don't think much about it. You know, we don't think, "Well, you know, Lord, do you really see this or not?" You know, you kind of. But I tell you what, with God, he sees everything. And he measures everything. And he looks at everything. And we may look at things and say, "Well, this doesn't matter much." But when we are faithful with the little things, God will give us the big things. He won't give us the big things that he wants us to do or say or go and whatever else. Actions, until we are faithful with that, those small things that he speaks to us to do. It might just be praying with somebody. My God, how many times have we walked away and we know the Spirit of God has pricked our hearts? And we walk away and we don't turn around and pray with that person. And that's just one little action. But people, we need to be faithful with those things that God puts upon our hearts to do. There's a reason behind it. And let me tell you, we may not understand it, but let me tell you, we have to do these things. We are followers of Christ. We are followers of Christ. And when we are followers of Christ, that means he lays down the law, he gives the orders, and we obey. I don't give down the laws. He does. We have to be faithful people. Faithful in the way we live to him. Faithful in the things that we do. Faithful in the things that we have. Just faithful unto him. I want you to turn to John chapter 6 if you would. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Look at verse 38, starting at verse 38. One of the great examples in the Word of God, and our example, is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The faithfulness that our Lord had to the Father. The faithfulness of him doing the will of the Father. I hate to even think where we would be if Jesus hadn't obeyed the Father to the fullest extent and been faithful to him no matter what. Where would we be? Certainly we probably wouldn't be in church. But the faithfulness of the Savior Jesus Christ to the Father, that he would do his will no matter what he asked him to do. But look at this. Verse 38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. What is he talking about? He's talking about doing the what? The will of the Father. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Talk about the resurrection, the coming resurrection. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone which sees the Son, believes on him, may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. He's talking about a guaranteed resurrection. Here we see, verse 30, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Here we see that Jesus, who is our greatest example, people, being faithful to the Father, came to do the will of the Father. And you know, we think, you know, when Jesus came, born of Mary and Joseph, born, became a carpenter, lived his life. At 30 years of age, he started to go around his ministry as far as preaching and healing and all these miracles, signs and wonders. That's when it started. At 30 years of age, going around and teaching people about the Father, teaching people that Jesus, he was the way, obeying the Father. And let me tell you, there was a lot of people there that accepted him, but let me tell you, there was a lot of people there that hated Jesus. That's hard to think of, huh? That there were a lot of people, scribes, Sadducees, these religious groups that hated the Father, hated Jesus. And they did not want him to do, they couldn't stand him because he was saying that he was the Savior of the world. He was the one that they were waiting to come. They could not accept him, not that religious group. But he knew he had to be faithful to the Father to preach the gospel, that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and there was no other way except through him. And they could not accept that for the most part, most of them. Now, there were some that accepted him. But he was faithful, people, to the Father. He was faithful to continue. Look, Jesus knew his destination upon the earth. Jesus knew what the religious group would do to him. Jesus knew how many lashes he would get on his back. Jesus knew how many men would pull his beard and hit him in the face. Jesus knew how many people would pull his hair. He knew how many of them would put nails through his hands and nails through his feet. And he knew the soldier that would take his spear in and stab the side of the Savior and Lord. He knew it. Yet, he didn't flinch. Go stub your toe on your bed. And see how you cry. And hold it. Try to hold it because it hurts sometimes. Take 40 lashes on your back. Or have your hair pulled out. Or your beard pulled out. Pulled upon. That's hard. Knowing what he would have to go through, he stood faithful to the Father. We need to stand as beacons of faithfulness to the Father. Faithfulness in the small things. Faithfulness in the big things. Thou good and faithful servant. It's an amazing thing. You know, we can look at pastors and preachers that have big churches and thank God for that. I mean, hey, look. I mean, I'm talking about numerically. And we could talk about other pastors that may not have as many people as them. You know, we are not a huge church, you know, but you have faithful people. And we will all stand as pastors before our Lord, and he will not say how many people you had. He will not ask that. He'll ask us, were you faithful in the things that I told you to do? Were you faithful as a pastor to teach them the word of God, the truth of the gospel? Were you faithful to give them the word of God without leaven in it, without sin in it, without evil in it? Were you faithful to give those things out to the people, my children? Were you faithful? And let me tell you, we'll all be standing there as pastors, and God will judge upon that. And it might shock the world, and it might shock the audience that is watching, who will be one and two and three and four and whoever, because God knows the hearts of the pastors. Now, you look at evangelists that go throughout the world. You have some that preach to audiences of thousands. And you have some evangelists that go to places where they might have 100 people. What God is looking at, say it, faithfulness. Faithfulness. The fivefold ministry of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers that God has given to the church. God will judge on faithfulness, people, how faithful they have been to him to teach and bring about what needed to be brought about. But also, even with the lay people, God is looking for faithfulness. How faithful are we in our prayer time with God, people? How faithful? How faithful are we to open up the Word of God and saying, Father, you have been a faithful God to me. I want to know more about you. How faithful are we with that? How faithful are we now? I don't want you to cringe some, but how faithful are we with our money? You know, it's an amazing thing. Doesn't matter what we make. It's all the same amount as far as percentage-wise that God requires of each and every one of us to give to the local church. How faithful is God? It's an amazing thing. You can make $10,000 a month or $10,000 a week, and you got to give 10%, God says. That's being faithful to Him. Or you can make $100 a week and give $10, $100 on your check and $10 to the church. That same is saying faithfulness, people. You see, God is the same with all His children. All His children. God is the same in all that. Being faithful unto Him, no matter what. Faithful with the small things so that God can bring about the bigger things that we think are bigger. Being faithful with the little things that God gives us. Faithful with those things. Just faithful. Faithful in the things that He gives unto us. Jesus, our Savior, was so faithful. He is our example. We need to be faithful with our God and the things that He's given unto us. The things that He has given unto us, that we are faithful with it unto Him. That He can say one day as we stand before Him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I sure hope when I get there, He can say that of me, that I have taken the time to be the best pastor that I can be. That I've taken care of His people, His children, given them out the Word of God, the correct Word of God, has helped them in every capacity, in every way that I could, possibly. That we are faithful unto Him. We are God's children, and we need to be faithful unto all things that He requires of us. We must be faithful to attend our duties without fail. We should be faithful. The faithfulness of our God. Faithful to Him and serving Him. People, we need to be faithful in serving our God. We can't wake up one day and say, you know, I'm not going to serve you. And the next day, maybe so. If you're a Christian one day, you're a Christian tomorrow. That doesn't mean a Christian without problems or without situations because of the enemy. But to be faithful unto Him. See, it doesn't matter what we go through. Our God is faithful unto us. And we should be faithful unto Him. He should be able to count on us. You know, think of one person that you can count on. No matter what you go through, no matter what's happening, no matter what's going on in your life, you know you can count on them. That they, if you call them, they'll be there right there. If they can, they'll be there. They'll help you no matter what. Think of that person. And then put yourself in a place of, when the Father has saved our souls, how much more faithful should we be to Him in all the things that we go through, no matter what. That we were faithful servants unto Him. That He can count on us. That when He tells us to go pray for that person that needs to be prayed for, that we go and we do it. I know, sometimes we struggle. Is that the voice of the Lord? But Lord, look at the Word of God and find out if it's against God's Word. If it's against God's Word, well, we know it's not God. But if it follows the pattern of the Word of God, we know that God is working and doing that. Just think. When Paul fell down off of that horse, Saul, and he went to the street called Straight, and just think of who was the guy that went and prayed for him? Ananias. Thank you. Just think if Ananias would have said no, Lord. Now, the Bible doesn't say so, but we don't know if Ananias was the first one that God spoke to. Ever thought of that? We don't know. But God knew what was going on in Saul's life. When Saul fell off that horse, the light shined upon him. He called God Lord. He got saved, baby. He got saved. He gave his heart, his life to Jesus. They brought him to that house on Straight Street, and God spoke to Ananias, or Ananias obeyed the Father and went and prayed for him. But like I said, we don't know for sure if he was the first one that God spoke to. If I had to bet my life on it, I'd say no. I bet you God spoke to others before he got to Ananias. I bet you. But, you know, I can't say for sure. But the scripture doesn't say it. Because you see, Paul was one that would persecute Christians, would go into houses. He'd go into houses and pull people out and bring them in jail, have them killed. He held the coats of the people as they stoned Stephen. And he thought he was doing the will of the Father. He thought he was doing God's will. So a lot of Christians feared him in that aspect. And as they feared him, God had them pray for him. And in praying for him, God moved upon him and saved his soul mightily. But here Ananias went. And like I said, he could have been the first, he could not have been. But when God spoke to him, he said, Lord, okay. Little antsy, maybe a little scared. But you have to remember, as soon as he knocked on that door, and that door was open, and he said, I'm come to pray over Paul. Well, Saul knew that he was a Christian. And something was going to happen. Either Paul was going to get saved, deal with the Holy Spirit, get saved, all that stuff, or Ananias would be jailed. And we know the whole story. People, we have to be faithful to our God. Faithful to him. Come on now. Let's stop dilly-dallying around, and one day we want to be faithful, next day we don't want. Look, we need to be faithful. We have to grow up as Christians. Grow up in the things of God. We got to be faithful to him. Say, Lord, I may not hit it right or 100% every time, but Father, help me. Help me to do your will. Help me to be faithful to you. Look, many a times God has woken you up at night to pray for certain people. Get up and pray. And I know the first thing after that, the first thing that comes to your mind is, Lord, I'm losing sleep. I'm losing sleep, and I got to work tomorrow. But get up for 10, 15 minutes and bombard heaven. And take all the shackles of evil off of that person's soul. And ask God to move upon them. Prayer will change things. God wants us to be a faithful people. A faithful church. A faithful family. Where God can speak. And he knows the people will listen. Will listen. We got to grab a hold of the things of God. And let God move upon us. Like we've never moved. Like he's never moved before. Let me tell you, look at Noah. Bring up Genesis, the scriptures I've given you on Noah. Let me tell you, they think it's not 100% exactly how long it took for him to build that boat, Noah. But it took within 100 or 120 years to build that boat. Something like that. It's a long time. You know, we think of houses and it takes 3-4 months and we're going crazy. You know, it's like, want to fire this one, fire that one, hire somebody else, you know. You know, nowadays, man, we build cars down the assembly line, they out of there in a day, you know. Everything's done, tire, everything's put on, boom, you have a car, my Lord. I mean, you know, we just use the fast-paced stuff. We're used to driving up at McDonald's, place our order, and getting it in 2 minutes. And they better not take 3 minutes. But we want to call the number that says comments and call that number. You know, I mean, we just want things fast. But look at this. It says, make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms that shall make thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within without the pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits in breadth, and 50 cubits in the height of it, 30 cubits. So God here gave him instructions. Go to that next scripture I gave you in Genesis. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. How faithful. You know what? God knew the flood was coming. It was coming. Just think of this. He loves us so much, but just think of this. If Noah wouldn't have obeyed, because the whole earth was covered with water. Water gushed from the underneath of the earth, and water came down from the heavens, and it flooded the earth and everything in it. Just think, if Noah wouldn't have obeyed God, Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives, eight in total, the human race would have died like they did. That would have been it. No more human race at all, not at that time. So God could have started over, like he probably did many times, however he wants to do it. But that would have been done. But how faithful was Noah that God could speak to that man. And let me tell you, you might be saying, Pastor, we're not faithful. No, I'm not saying we're not faithful. I'm just saying we need to rev it up a little bit in our faithfulness to Him. Sometimes we take the little minute things and we push it to the side. We think that's not important. But to God, everything that He tells us is very, very important. And all those little things that He speaks to you and tells you to do, it might be very minute. And you might think, oh, this is nothing. But He's looking at our faithfulness to Him. And he said, when he says, Joe, I want you to do this, it may seem like, oh, the oddest thing. It may seem like it's not worth anything. But you go and you do it. And after a while, God will start on those little things, and He'll give you more and more and bigger things. We want the signs, the miracles, and the wonders of God. But God is saying, start with the small, and I'll entrust you with the big. Faithful to Him, people. Faithful to Him. Faithful to Him. Faithful to pray for people. Faithful to pray for your family. Faithful to get up and announce the praises of your God upon this earth. Because we want the power of God to be spread upon this earth. That the nature of the people of God would be at a place where they will obey and they will do what God calls them to do. Noah was found faithful, people. Faithful. Don't push away those little things. It may not seem much to you, but to God it's a big thing. And just be faithful. When He says something, you just say, okay, well, show me when to do it and how to do it. And the power of God will be with you. Noah, can you imagine 100? If it's 100 years, my God, that's a lot. If it goes to 120, that's a whole lot more. If it took 100 or 120, that's a lot of years. Building a boat. Building a boat. To save me. And you know, God could have, He made the sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds, the earth, the trees, the birds, the human race. Don't you think He could have spoke a boat into being? In an instant? You ever thought of that? He could have said, you know, boat, ship. Make a gulf of wood and the pitch between you. I mean, just everything. But God chose not to. God chose a man. God chose a person. He loves us so much. He loves us so much. He loves you. He's been faithful to us. Let's continue to be faithful to Him. Don't brush off those little things. Continue to do what God says. Continue in your relationship to the Lord. Continue in your pursuit of God. continue in your pursuit of Him. Not that you don't know Him, you know Him, but you want to know Him in a better way. It's like continually going on with Him. Continually open that Word and look at it and say, Father, show me something today. Lord, intervene in this situation today. Help me today, Lord God. Continue to worship Him and praise Him and honor Him, the God that has done all these things for us and has helped us in all areas of our lives. How faithful is He? How faithful is He? Let's be faithful to Him in the things that He calls us to do. Saying, Father, I'll leave it all for Your sake. Lord, I'll leave it all for Your sake. Be faithful to what He has given us. Because that's what He'll look at on that day of judgment. Not in judgment of heaven and hell. That's not it. No. But in our judgment of faithfulness to Him. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, on that day, this is Joseph's, your pastor's prediction. On that day, as that day approaches and all the Christians come, all His children, we can all be so far, but yet we're all so close. It's like, you know, that's how you can do it. And He starts to hand out the awards of the faithfulness of God's people. He'll call out a name, way over there, and they start walking out. Everybody says, He's given them this great award because of their faithfulness. Then He calls out another name. And a lot of people say, well, who's that? I never heard of him. I never heard him or her preach. I mean, they walked out again. Then He calls out another name and another name and another name and another name. And people are wondering, who's all these people? But it's all these people that may be hiding out in their rooms or in that prayer closet, calling out the name of God. And He's saying, your faithfulness. Saying, come, I'm going to reward you openly. Because you fought for my people. And you fought for my children. And I saved their souls because you brought down the pit of hell over their souls. You tore down the principalities and the powers of demon spirits upon their lives. I'm going to reward you because of your faithfulness. That's our God. Now, that doesn't mean we won't know something. I hope this. I hope when He calls that day, that every one of our names as a church is called. Now, I'll stand up as a proud papa and say, that's my church. If the Lord allows. Because I know you are a faithful people. And I want to thank you for your faithfulness, number one, to me as your pastor. And number two, to God. Keep on going. And don't let anything hinder you from your past, because that's the past. From the sides, that's the sides. But you keep on towards the mark that God has called you to. In doing what God calls you to do. Be faithful to Him most of all, and faithful to where He's called you to be. Amen. God bless you. You may stand.